Begin the current daf in Sefer Mitzia, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Begin 6 lines down for the tab of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues and concludes the discussion of our previous Mishnah, which was talking about the halachas about Tullin. The Mishnah told us that if it's during the Zman of right after he finished doing his work, let's say a Sechir Yoyim, who finishes at nighttime. So the duration of the period, which is called Zmanai, is from nighttime up until the morning time. So he said in that interim period, he's Nishba V'Noitel. He could swear that he wasn't paid yet and he collects. But after that Zman, then we said that he can't be Nishba V'Noitel anymore, as we explained the previous stuff. So then the Mishnah concludes and says, if he has witnesses that he claimed his wages from the employer, how is it Nishba V'Noitel? Then he could swear and collect. So the Gemara wonders, but V'Hokotavu L'Kaman, but he's claiming here now in front of us, what exactly does he gain, and why is the halacha change? That, oh, there are witnesses that can testify that he was claiming his wages from him. What do we need that for? He himself is claiming right now in front of us in the courts. As Tais explains, the Gemara's question is, the assumption was that if he has Edim that he was claiming even after Zmanai, meaning after the first period that was right after he finished working, if witnesses testify that he claimed from him, oh, then he could be Nishba V'Noitel. And that's the Gemara's question is, what do we need the witnesses for? He himself is claiming right now. How does it help that there are witnesses that he's claiming when we see himself claiming, and that should allow him to be Nishba V'Noitel? So that in Rav Asi says, no, it's that if he has witness, although now he's already after the period, which the Halacha of the Mishnah said he cannot be Nishba V'Noitel anymore, as the Gemara said on the top of this Amud, because it's two against one of the Balabais' chazaka versus the Sarchis chazaka. But if he brings witnesses, shetvoy bizmanoi, that he has witnesses could testify, look, I know it's already after this month, but I went to him originally, and he didn't pay me then. I even have witnesses to testify that I went to him in that first period right after, and he didn't pay me. Therefore now, although it's already after that Zman, he could be Nishba V'Noitel. Because, what do you mean? Why did you delay till now? I didn't delay. Don't say it's a chazaka, because I actually went, he just didn't pay. Now, that the Gemara asked, but v'dimma l'basa hachi, but maybe after that the witnesses, yeah, he came a few hours after he finished his job. He finished at sunset at 6 p.m. At 9 p.m. he comes and says, look, pay me. And there are witnesses that saw that he came and he claimed. Yeah, but maybe once they left, then para, maybe then, later on in that time period, then the balabais paid him, and he did not violate baltalan, which is really what the chazaka is, as we said in the tab of this amid, why we, after this man, we don't believe the sacher to be Nishba V'Noitel. So how does it help that there are witnesses that saw that he claimed, okay, that moment he didn't give, but an hour later he did pay you, because we assume that he did not violate baltalan, which you're coming already after that time period. Why, if there's witnesses, could he be Nishba V'Noitel, even la'achar's man? So Amar Baye says, no, it's Tomash Shetvoy Kol Zmanai. That whole 12-hour period, let's say, if it's a perfect, in the equinox, for 12 hours, up until the time period which was Zmanai passed, he was saying, pay me, pay me, pay me, the witnesses, the whole time, so he didn't pay him. That's where we say the halacha then, okay, now after of Zmanai, still he could be Nishba V'Noitel, because now we don't have any more the chazaka of that he wouldn't violate Baltan when we see the witnesses could testify that he did not pay in that whole Zman. Now that the Gemara asks, "Ula oilam loy parale," and what? And forever the owner is not going to pay him? What do you mean? Because you're saying he claimed that whole first day and he didn't give him, so now the worker should be believed forever to say that he never got paid? What? And if the owner would want to swear a week later, we wouldn't believe him? What? He delays paying for so long? Yeah, maybe he violated baltal. He didn't pay right away. But now, 2 weeks later, why we should continue forever now believe the sacher that it doesn't make sense that we should believe him forever because he didn't pay him in the first day. So, Amram Chamar Ukva, you're right. He qualifies this halacha. It's keneged oitzi hayoim shel tevia, correlating to that one day of the claim, meaning he gets another day after that zman the chacham gave him that he can still swear and collect. You're right. But past that, he cannot because we don't give that an infinite amount of time. But since we have witnesses that he claimed him the one after, which was the time that we would allow him to be Nishba V'Noitel. Now he says, I did, and look, I even have witnesses who verify that the whole time I was claiming he didn't pay, so now, the next day, he could still be Nishba V'Noitel. But the day after, and the day after that, then he can't be Nishba V'Noitel anymore. Then we don't say and assume that the employer didn't pay him. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Now continuing on to a different halacha, regarding that of a loan, specifically regarding when there's a loan, then the borrower gives the lender a mashkin, it gives him security for the loan. So on that the Mishnah says, Hamalves chaveiro. If someone lends money to his friend, now specifically there's actually in halacha two types of collaterals. There's one of during the time of the loan, And then there's one when the loan is supposed to be paid up and he doesn't pay up. The guy says, hey, I need to collect. So he goes and he takes a mashkin instead of collecting the loan. So that's the case that we're talking about over here. When someone lends his friend money and the time comes and he didn't pay him up, so he wants to go ahead and collect some type of collateral from him. Says the Mishnah, lo yimishkanenu. So he's not allowed to go ahead and take this collateral even if he doesn't go into the guy's house, even if it's just in the street. Ela bebesin. Only in court. He has to go through the courts. The courts are allowed to go ahead and take the mashkin from him, but the lender himself cannot take the mashkin from the borrower. Moreover, says the Mishnah, Balikonis lebeisa little mashkin. He's not allowed to go into the debtor's house to take the collateral, which I'm going to explain who is this referring to, who can't go in. Is it the machayiv, meaning the lender? Is it even bezin themselves, who they're allowed to, but they're not allowed to go into the guy's house? But that's what the Mishnah says. He's not going to his house to take the mashkin. Shnimak, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, which talks about this halacha, that it says, Bachutz tamay. He has to stand on the outside. And then the Pasuk says, and the man who has creditors coming after him, he goes and takes out from his house, says, look, I can't pay, I'm sorry, but here, take my vase, take my this, take my that. But whoever's collecting from him can't come into the house, has to stay outside the house. Continues the Mishnah on this halacha. Hayulei shnei kelim. If the borrower had two different kelim, two different vessels, tools, and the debt that he owes to the lender equals to the value of both of them. So the lender takes both of them as a mashkin. Now the halacha is, neitel echad umaneich echad. At times, he would have to leave one by the borrower, and he would have to take one and leave the other one by the borrower. So for example, let's say, at a time when the borrower needs that one, that tool, then the lender has to return it to him because of this halacha that says in the Torah of returning the avut, returning that collateral. And then he could hold on to the other one. And when the guy needs the other one, then he gives him that one and he takes back the first one, as the Mishnah actually illustrates this. Umavzer es akar balayla. For example, let's say he takes two different things. Let's say he takes a pillow and he takes a plow. So he gives him back the plow, the pillow at nighttime. But samachreshabayim, and the plow he takes back during the, and he gives back the plow during the daytime. Whenever he needs it, he gives it back to him. Another halacha on this, the Mishnah says, v'meis, if the borrower dies, eina mavzer, so then the lender does not return this collateral, liyarshav, to his inheritors, because the mitzvah of hashavas ha'avit, which the Torah says a mitzvah of returning that collateral, is not said in regards to the yarshim. Rather, he's allowed to sell it and use it to collect his debt, because the Torah says, hashav teshivim loy, you should return the collateral to him, which is to him and not to his inheritors. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, actually, not only like the Tanna Kamma is saying that he doesn't have to return to the inheritors, that afla atzmai ein amachzer, ela ad shloshim yom, that even to the borrower himself, this that you have to return the mitzvah, and the Torah says you have to return the avoid to him, is only for a period of 30 days, which is the time period that the court deals with it. But after 30 days, then he could sell it in the court and he could use that to collect the debt that's owed to him. So not only for the Yarshim doesn't have to give back, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, even for the guy himself, for the debtor, for the leiva, is only up until 30 days, but not more than that. Now, relating to the halacha of the Reish of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following statement from Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Shlich Bezin, the agent of the court, Menatech Netuchi In, yes, he could grab away a collateral from the debtor, of Mashkuni Loy. But even he himself is not allowed to go into the house of the debtor and remove collateral from his house. Rather, if he sees him in the marketplace, then he could remove what he's holding and take it away from him and say, oh, I'm taking this for your creditor. But to go into his house, that says Shmuel, even the Shlich Bezin cannot do that. And that adds to Gemara. But Vatnan Ulin, our Mishnah, that says, Hamave es chaveret, if someone lends his friend money, so the Mishnah said, Lo yimishkanenu elu bezin. So he's not allowed to take a mashkin, only through the courts. Now, machlal de bebezin memashkin. Now the inference is, but that the courts could take a mashkin, which the word mashkin sounds like that even going into the guy's house, that you're allowed to do. So Amalei Shmuel, would tell you, that no, Ema say in reading our Mishnah, it's lo yinesachenu el bebezin. That we use the word mashkin doesn't mean mashkin like to go into his house. It means that you're not allowed to even grab it away as a bal chayiv, only through the courts. But even the courts are only allowed to grab it away in the shuk, but not in the guy's house itself. Says the Gemara, Hachanam Mistabra. Actually, it's more logical to say the way we're interpreting the Mishnah, which resolves Shmuel, and not like the way we had asked. Because the next line in the Mishnah reads as follows. Lo yikonis lebeis elit l'mashkin. He's not allowed to go into his house to take the mashkin. And that says the Gemara Mani. So who's that referring to? As we had alluded to this question already when we read the Mishnah. Ilem Abal Chayiv, if you would entertain to say that it's referring to the creditor, what do you mean? Mereisha Shema Minah. The Reish of the Mishnah already told us that Hamaves Chaber lo yimishkanenu, ela bebezin. We already said that the lender cannot take the mashkin, only the bezin. So then when the Mishnah then continues, it says, and he's not allowed to go into his house to collect the mashkin, who are we talking about? Not the Baal Chayiv, because the Baal Chayiv can't take the mashkin. So who are we talking about? Elalav Shliach Bezin. Rather, it's saying that even the Shliach Bezin, who could take the mashkin, which we're reading as he could be menatech, and he could grab it away, even he could only take it from the shuk, but not like Shmuel, but rather, as Shmuel said, he could not go into the house, even the Shliach Bezin. That says the Gemara, Imishim Holoi Arya. If that was your proof to Shmuel, to say it's actually logical the way we're answering, that wouldn't be a proof to Shmuel. Because Hachikama, you could say that this is what the Mishnah is saying. Hamalve es Chaveri, the Mishnah opens up by saying that someone lends his friend money, lo yimishkanenu, ela bebezin. He cannot take a mashkin, only in the court. Now, mechlal, the bebezin memashkin, to the contrary, we could say like not like Shmuel. The inference is, but if it's through the courts, then they could be mashkin, they could even go into the guy's house. Now, then the Mishnah continues and says, ubal chayim. Now, because regards to a creditor, who that's who we're discussing, he's not allowed to take collateral. Now, why? Continues the Mishnah, because a creditor, he cannot even grab it away, even in the shuk. Why? Because that's a rabbinic decree, and it's coming to explain that, because the halacha is really talking about the biblical concept is going into the guy's house. So why are we saying that he can't even grab it away, even in the street? That's a rabbinic decree, that he shouldn't come to then, if he could grab it away in the street, he might come then to go to the guy's house and grab it away, because the guy's going, oh, safety, safety, I'm in my house. So he's going, oh, well, your house, he's going to go in and grab it away from his house. Oh, to avoid that biblical violation of the Baal Chayiv, therefore, the Rabbanan said that even in the Shuk, he's not allowed to grab it away, but really, he would be going to Baal Chayiv and not on the Bezin, because actually, we could say, not like Shmuel, that if it was through the Bezin, the Shliach Bezin could actually go take the Mashkin from the guy's house. Gemara continues discussing this halacha of Shmuel. Masa Rav Yisr, Visa asked to Shmuel's halacha in the following pasuk in Devar. The pasuk says, Lo yachavo, which that means to say that if someone is coming to take a mashkin for a debt that's owed to him, he comes to court, should not go ahead and take a mashkin by something that is regarding providing provisions for eichel nefesh for food purposes. So he cannot take a mashkin of rechayim, which that's the lower part of the grind mill. And Verachav, which is the upper part of the grind mill, he can't take those types of tools as a mashkin, because they're necessary for the guys providing his food. That's what the pasuk says, that type of mashkin you cannot take. Now, the inference says Rabbi Yosef, is Hadvar Machem Chaval, but other things, you could take a chavela. Now, as Rashi points out, the word chavela sounds like something that's in the guy's house, because where are the rechaim and the rachav? Those are things that a person keeps in his house. And we're saying, those items in the house, that you cannot take a mashkin. But other things, even though they're in the house, sounds like you could take a mashkin. So too, a pasuk later on says, Leisachval beged amana. You're not allowed to take as a mashkin the garment of a widow. Now, where does she keep her garments? In her house. You're not taking it off of her. You're taking it what's in her closet. Now, that you cannot take as mashkin. Hoshalachem techabal, but it sounds like other people, not the widow, that you could take as a mashkin. Now, man, so who's this going on? If you think it's going on the creditor, but the pasuk says, the pasuk explicitly says that the creditor himself cannot go into the house to take the collateral. Rather, says Rav Yisiv, obviously it's talking about the agent of the court, that he could go into a person's house and take the mashkin. You just can't take certain things like that provide a chal nefesh, or that's the garment of a widow, but everything else he could, which is not like Shmuel, who said that even the shlich bezin cannot go into the debtor's house. And that says the Gemara, Tigma Rav Papa Bered Rav Nachman Kamed Rav Yisiv, that Rav Papa, the son of Rav Nachman, interpreted this in front of Rav Yisiv. Amrilah, and some say it was actually Rav Papa Bered Rav Yisiv Kamed Rav Yisiv, it was Rav Papa, the son of Rav Yisiv, who interpreted in front of Rav Yisiv, that La'ilam Abalchay, truthfully, that this pasuk that's warning that you shouldn't take the widow's garment or the grind mill, is actually talking about regarding the creditor. Now, don't make the inference, oh, wait a second, so what, only the rechayim, you're not allowed to go ahead, and the widow's garment, but it sounds like other garments you could. That obviously you can't make that inference because the pasuk already says, Lisabal basically is never allowed to go into the debtor's house. So then why is it specifying these two items then? That says the Gemara, that's necessary because it's coming to add the lav or lav b'shnei lav, and it's just coming to say that yes, there's a general prohibition on the creditor of ever coming into the guy's house. That's issue number one. Then additionally, if you're going to take the Rechaim and the Rachev, or you're going to take the widow's garment, then besides the Isser B'leis Sofei El-Besoi, there's going to be an additional Isser that you took something that he provides the sustenance, or that's the widow's garment, to say two violations. But don't say the inference, oh, we must be talking about Shlich Bezin, and he could go in, he just can't come in for these things. No. He can't come in, it's going out of Bachayiv. And moreover, even if he does come in, he violates another Isser regarding the Beged Almana and the Rechaim Barachah. So the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel, Toshima, for the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mimash Mishanemah, for the fact that the Pasuk says, Bachot Tamid, it says that the one who's coming to collect has to stand on the outside. And as the Pasuk continues, V'yeti lechaz avet, and then he'll bring out to you, meaning the guy, will bring out to you the collateral. Now, from the fact that it says that the one who's collecting has to stand on the outside, ask the Braisa, now, any yedeh she ishash atenoisha b'yetzi, so obviously, isn't it obvious so that the one that you're trying to collect from, he'll bring out the stuff to you? Because if not for the debtor, who else is bringing out the stuff to you? The creditor has to stand on the outside. Why does the Pasuk have to tell me, oh, and the debtor, he'll go and bring it out to you? Elamata malayma v'ish, so says the Braisa, and what is the word v'ha'ish and the man coming to include? That's coming to include because, yes, it's coming to say not only would the Baal HaBayis bring out stuff to you, but so to V'ha'ish, that even the Shlich Bezin is included in this halacha. So says the Gemara, my love, Shlich Bezin Kalevit, doesn't it sound like that what the Braisa is saying in interpreting the Pasig is that the agent of the court is the same as the borrower. In other words, that he also could come into the house. In other words, so what the Pasig is saying is that V'ha'ish and the man, who's the man? It's the Shlich Bezin. And va'asha atenoishabai, and also the one that you're trying to collect from, meaning the debtor, yaitzi alecha, they will bring out to you, meaning to say that the Shlich Bezin could go in, just like the debtor himself, the leiva himself also goes in to bring out the stuff to the Baal Chayv. So you see, not like Shmuel, that the Shlich Bezin could go in. That's his Gemara, as we continue to Amidbeis, that lo, no. What the Braisa is saying is that va'ish is telling you that the Shlich Bezin is kemalva, that the agent of the court is like the lender. And this is how you read the pasuk according to the Braisa. Bachotz tamoid, that you, the debtor, you, the creditor, has to stand on the outside. Moreover, v'ish, that includes also the man who is the Shlich Bezin. And then there's a comma. And then, v'asha'ata neisha b'yitzilach, and the one that you're trying to collect from, he's the only one that brings you out to, because actually the Shlich Bezin has to stay on the outside, just like the Malva. So, no raya, not like Shmuel. So, Tashma, the Gemara continues to try to prove, not like Shmuel, from the following braisa. Pasuk says in Shemais, that imchavol tachbol samas rechav, you're going to take collateral of your friend's garment, that the pasuk there concludes that ad bay hashemesh tishavenu loy, so then by sundown you have to return it to that person, you have to return the collateral by the time when he needs it in his time, whether it be a daytime thing or a nighttime thing. Says the Braisa, b'shlich bezna kasim daber. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about an agent of the court. That's where the halacha is, that's the person that collects the collateral. Now, on that says the Braisa, do you really think that the Pasuk is talking about an agent of the court? Maybe it's talking about a creditor. A creditor, if he took a collateral of the garment, so make sure you return it by the time that the person needs to use it, because although you're allowed to take collateral, but you have to be able to return it when the person needs. So maybe that's what the Pasuk is talking about. So that says the Braisa, no, when the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to come into the debtor's house to collect your collateral. So the Pasuk already tells us that a creditor is not allowed to go into the debtor's house. So what is it teaching us that it says if you're going to go and take the collateral of your friend's garment? Must be, says the price of a shlich bezna kasa medaba, that the Torah is coming to tell you that regarding the agent of the court, that he is allowed to go into the person's house to take the chavala, to take the collateral. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. If you're going to go out and take a collateral, meaning how are you taking the collateral from the guy's house through a shlich bezin, that although that's allowed, but then by the time the sun comes down, then you have to return it to that person. So you see, not like Shmuel, that al kapanim, a shlich bezin, is allowed to go into the debtor's house. So the Gemara, you write, tanoi hitzamachlekes tanoi. The Tanakh in the Braisa. One Braisa tells us, shlich bezin shabola mashkele. If the agent of the court is coming to collect the collateral, like Shmuel, he's not allowed to go into the house to collect the collateral. Rather, even the shlich bezin has to stand on the outside. And the debtor goes and brings out the mashkin to the shlich bezin. Like it says in the pasuk, like we had said, the interpretation for Shmuel in the previous brisa, that he stands on the outside, who, the creditor, and the man, who again, as we said, that refers to shlich bezin, he also has to stand on the outside. That's one brisa, which is like Shmuel. Another brisa, not like Shmuel, but as we said, it's a machlokes tanaim. Balchayv shebol lemashkenay, a creditor that's coming to collect collateral, lo yikanis lebeis lemashkenay, is not allowed to go into the debtor's house to collect the collateral. Ella, I mean bebachutz, rather he stands on the outside. V'halon nichnas umeitzi lemashkenay, and the debtor goes into his house and brings it out to the creditor. Shnem like says in the pasuk, bechutz tamid, that he has to stand on the outside. But says the brisa, v'shlich beznin shebol lemashkenay, but if the agent of the court is coming to take the mashken, then harizeh nichnas lebeis lemashkenay, he could come into the house and collect the collateral, because obviously, like we said, then the comma is the before the word v'ish, rather the man and the one that you're trying to collect from, they go into the house to bring out the collateral. So it's a machloik is tanoim, this halach of Shmuel, how do you understand this shlich bezin, which again that's related to the how to read the halach of Amishnah, who is it that can go into the person's house? Is it the bachayiv or is it even the shlich bezin? Continues the braisa, v'loy mishkenenu dvarim sho'isim b'em oichal nefesh. Although the shlich bezin, according to this braisa, is allowed to go into the guy's house, and he's allowed to take stuff from his house, but he cannot take stuff that are there for a person's food purposes, as we said from the pasuk, that you can't take the rechaim, and that you can't take the thing that you grind things with, which anything of oichal nefesh, because it's learned out from v'chi nefesh u'chayvul, you can't take something that is for a person's livelihood, for his continued existence. Now continues the braisa, moreover, although that the lender could collect collateral for sure through a shlich bezin to go into the guy's house, now but v'nisin, but he has to give to the borrower mita umita, he has to give him two different beds, which later on the Gemara is going to explain, one's to eat on, one's to sleep on. Umatza, he also has to give him a spread made out of felt in a place where they don't have blankets, if he's la usher, if he's a wealthy person who's used to that type of blanket, of a spread made out of felt. And mitu mapitz la'ani, and if he's a pauper, then he has to give him a bed and another bed and a mat made out of reeds, which is according to what he's used to, which is lower standard than the wealthy person. Because this halacha actually is learned out from a Gemara in Erechin. Gemara in Erechin learns the pasuk that says, v'machu me'erkechem. Someone took an erech vow, which is, the Torah talks about certain standard amounts that according to the gender and according to the age, if you say that person's erech is on you. Now, the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Chavdal Manav, interprets that we tell you, hachyeyu me'erkecha, that you have to help him survive from the erech. In other words, for example, if let's say so he took an erech vow, which he has to give to Hekdesh. Now the Hekdesh treasurer comes to collect and say, here, pay up. And the guy doesn't have money to pay up. So he comes to take collateral from the guy when he doesn't have enough. So on that, the Gemara tells us that there's a halacha called Hesig Yad. Because the pasuk in the Ikach of Zion tells us, v'hamidu lifnei ha'kohen, so they put the guy in front of the kohen, v'harachais, and they evaluate him. They see how much does he really have to pay up for the erech vow that he took. So the kohen then leaves at least what he needs for his survival and takes the rest to pay up the erech vow. And then he fulfills his obligation of hekdesh. And even if later on he becomes wealthy after they had evaluated him, he doesn't have to pay now the more which was left over that he didn't pay back then when he was evaluated for what he needed for his basic necessities. Now it's from that halacha of erechin that we learn to the halacha of a balchayv, of a creditor, where in the halacha of our Mishnah, where a lender is taking collateral from the borrower, that we also retain for him what's called kedei chayiv, his basic survival needs. As the Gemara on the next daf teaches us from this gezeirah shava of micha, of being poor, both it says the term here and by the term of by erechin. So therefore, these two beds and the bedspread, whether a matzah for an usher or a mapetz for ani, is a basic requirement. Therefore, that is not allowed to take from collateral to take away the possessions of the borrower. Moreover, continues the braisa that loy, this halacha that he has to leave him a bed was only said for the debtor himself. But not for his wife or his sons and daughters, because the pasuk teaches us, you have to help him survive, but that's not obligated on the lender to help provide for the survival of his family members. So it's only for himself that he leave those basic possessions for. Moreover, says the braisa, just like we organize for a creditor, for a debtor, meaning for a creditor collecting from the debtor, that we evaluate how much are the basic needs of the debtor and that we have to leave for him. And the reason why we use the word mesadrin is from the word v'herich ha'isai, which erich is also about order and organization. So just like we organize for the creditor, kach mesadrin be'erichin, so too we do the same thing in the halachas of erichin, which the Gemara asks in the Braisa, klap elai, which direction are you going? Ikar sidu be'erichin siv, as we said before, the primary halacha of being mesadr kedei chayiv is actually said by erichin, and we learn out actually b'chay from erichin. So the Gemara says, Elema, rather say in the words of the Brice, it's supposed to say, Kederech Shemesajim Erechin, just like we organize the basic needs, Feherecha Yisai, Hechyeyu, from Me'erkecha, as we do by Erechin, Kech Mesajim Achayiv, so do we do this by the halachas of a creditor, which, although the creditor could take Mashkoinus and take away all the possessions of the debtor if he doesn't have what to pay back, but he has to leave him his basic needs. Now, the Gemara explains this halacha of the Brice, Amamar. So Tan the Brice said, when it comes to a wealthy person, has to leave him a bed and a bed and this felt spread, the bedspread for the wealthy person. And when it comes to a pauper, a bed and a bed and this reed mat that he uses for the bed. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Laman, who is this second bed for? Why do we need to leave over for the debtor two beds? And that is, if you think that the second bed is for his wife, his kids, Ha'amrit, but you said the other drasha that loy, that the halacha is you have to leave over for him, but not for his wife and his sons and his daughters. So what's the second bed for? Rather, both beds are for him himself. So Tarti Lamli, why does he need two beds? Says the Gemara, one's the bed, because they used to not sit on chairs, but rather recline on these types of couch slash beds. So one is the one that he eats on, and the other one is the one that he sleeps on, Kiddushmul, like Shmuel said. What's the halacha Shmuel? Tama Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kol mili dana asusayu. Shmuel was a doctor, Shmuel knew medicine. It says, everything I know how to heal, labar mahani tlas, except for these three ailments, which are, manda ochla hina marira, someone that eats a bitter date, aliba rekana, on an empty stomach, meaning before he eats a meal. Number two, umanda asur misna de kisna retiva acharze, someone that wraps a moist rope made out of linen around his waist. And the third one is, which is the one related to our halacha, umanda achal nahama vole maske arbogar midi. And for someone that eats bread and doesn't walk four amas before he goes to sleep. Now that's why we give the person, this debtor, two beds, and we distance the second bed at least four amas away from where the first bed where he's eating, so that by default he has to usually get up and walk before he lays down, so that he won't be eating without walking four amas. Because if he does, that's very dangerous. There's no way of healing such a person, at least the way according to Shmuel's understanding. That's why we give him these two beds, one to eat on and one to walk four amas and to lay down over there. Now, the Gemara continues on this halacha. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. There was a teacher of Brises that taught the following Brises in front of Rav Nachman. Kederech Shemesajim Be'erchin, as we had taught this in this previous Brises that we quoted, just like we organize the basic necessities of a person in the halachas of Erechin, when he took an Erech vow and he doesn't have money to pay, and he take away his stuff to pay up his debt of Erechin, we leave him his basic needs. Kach Mesajim Be'erchin. So too, we do the same thing by a debtor, let's say he owns a debt of a loan, we leave him what's called Kedei Chayev. That Omalei, Rav Nachman asked to the one who taught him this Braisa, wait a second. Hashta zevuni mizav ninen lei, I don't understand, he says. If we even take, after 30 days, even the kalim that the debtor needs, as the Mishnah tells us, after 30 days, we go ahead and we take all his items, even his basic stuffs, and we sell it. So sadur misadrin lei, so you're going to tell me that we go ahead and we organize to maintain stuff for him? Whereas Taisa explains a little bit more, says that, if we even go ahead and we sell his pillow and his blanket, whatever is even around, we go and we take it away. After 30 days, we sell everything he has, and this that we have to give him back is only for the first 30 days. So you think that we're going to go ahead and be mesader for him? In other words, that we're going to go ahead and take even from money that there is, not even stuff that he has. We're going to separate from his money to buy for him pillows and blankets and things that he needs for 12 months like we do by Erechin, which that's Allah mesadrin. How can you say that? If even what he really has after 30 days we sell, so you would think that, this guy needs the basic needs. Let's go ahead and take some of his money, buy stuff that he'll have for the next 12 months. How could you say that? If even after 30 days, even what he has, we sell off. Even his basic needs. Now that the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman's question, do we really sell these stuff that the debtor needs? But Ratna, we learned in the Mishnah that said that it's not true. You give it back to him. Machzer's a karbalayla. The stuff that he needs, let's say like a pillow at nighttime, you actually give it back to him every single night. On a plow that he needs, you give it back to him every single day. So who said anything about that you're selling, that you're bothered, that why are we masadif him? We don't sell it. We actually maintain him. We have to give back to him every night and day, whichever one that he needs. So that says the Gemara, no, Tana, this one who's teaching the Braisa, Kirib Shimon Begum Lil Tanakame. He taught in front of Rav Nachman this Braisa in the name of Rav Shimon Begum Lil. And that it was him who said that just like you Mesader by Erech and so do Mesader by Bachayv. And that was Vachay Kamali. That's what Rav Nachman said to the teacher of the Braises. You can't be saying this in the name of Rav Shimon Begum Lil. Because Hashtal Rav Shimon Begum Lil Zabuni Mizam Ninle, if according to Rav Shimon Begum Lil, that we even sell off everything the guy has after 30 days, so Sadu, Mr. Yinli, do you think that we go ahead and organize and make sure that this guy has what he needs for the next 12 months? Because the Nan, we learn in the Mishnah that says, Rav Nachman, Rav Shimon Lil Oimer, he says, that Afla Atzma Ina Machzer, Elat Shleish Mim, that even to the borrower himself, we only return it in the first 30 days. Mekamba Elach, Mechem Abazin. After that point in time, we even sell it in the courts, and therefore, says Rav Nachman, you cannot say this halacha name Rav Shimon Gamliel, because even what he has after 30 days we sell, for sure we're not going to set aside from things that he needs for the next 12 months. Now, still the Gemara asks on this question of Rav Nachman, where does Rav Nachman know that from this that Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah that after 30 days we sell off his stuff, that legame kamar, that it means that we totally sell it off, and that is we don't even leave the basic necessities and requirements of the debtor that he has, let's say this pillow or this plow, demehachikama. Maybe this is what Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying. Ad shleishim yoyim hadulei be'enei. Up until 30 days, then we give him back exactly what we took from him, the collateral, as it is, no matter what the item is. If, let's say, took from him even a very distinguished overcoat, you're going to give it back to him as it is for the first 30 days. Now, what Rav Shimon Gamliel did say was, mekam ve'elech, at that point on, after 30 days, we only give him back what he needs, and we sell what he does not need. So, for example, let's say he has a very expensive silk coat. So what we do is, you're right, we sell it, but not that we totally sell it, we leave him nothing. We sell it, and we give him one out of wool, one out of canvas. We give him the basic needs that he needs for summer and for winter, but it's just that we sell it in the sense of that we take the differential between the two, because no, we're selling your stuff, but not totally. So what's Rav Nachman's question? Rav Shimon Gamliel can't hold the halach masadrin. Maybe he does hold. Maybe you do have to be concerned with the borrower's needs for, let's say, like Erechim for the next 12 months. And you have to even buy stuff that he needs. So what are you saying, we sell it off? Yeah, we sell it off if it's a very expensive item that he doesn't need to then downgrade him. But not that you totally sell it off. So who said Rav Shimon Gamliel can't hold this halach masadrin by Baal Chalef? And that says the Gemara, no. If you would entertain to say that this Braisa could be like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that he holds up this logic that we're Mesader for Baal Chayiv, then there would not be anything that's not fit for him once he got accustomed to using it. And therefore, it wouldn't make sense that Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold this halacha that you could sell if you're being Mesader. If you're being masada of him, his basic needs, then there's nothing there that you can be able to sell it off to say that, oh, so he doesn't need that anymore because he could downgrade him. It's not true. Because we, as the Gemara is going to illustrate, Rav Shimon Gamliel was quoted as holding that every Jewish person is considered a prince. So no matter how expensive the item it is, it's considered that's his basic standard. And if that's the basic extent, then you massage it for him, and therefore you can't be selling. So if Rav Shimon will hold that you're selling after 30 days, obviously it's Rav Nachman, he cannot hold this halacha of massage. As the Gemara explains, because the Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Shmuel, Rav Akiva, these four Tanoim, Kulu Svirluhu, Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachamim, they all held that all Jewish people are considered princes, which means to say that their standard is the higher standard. How so? So Rav Shimon Gamliel, which we're trying to explain that why Rav Nachman held it cannot be that he holds a misadrin if we go and we sell all the stuff and we don't leave him his basic needs, is because whatever it is that he has is his basic needs. Because like royalty, even though it's so expensive, that's his basic needs. There's not like the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Lo yisa luf, v'lo yisa chardel. Neither this luf, which is some type of a kitnis of a legume, nor mustard seed, are you allowed to move on Shabbos? Because they're not fit to be used. Therefore, they're like muktzah, they're set aside. You can't use it because you can't cook. Neither can you grind on Shabbos. And there's nothing else that you can do with it in its raw state, because even birds are not going to eat this luf or this chardel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel matabalof. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that no, it's permitted to move this kidneyous bean of lof on Shabbos. Why? Memneishu meichel orvim, because it's not totally mukta. It's usable to feed to ravens. Now, although generally people don't have ravens in their house, and therefore that should be considered mukta, but since he holds that the Jewish people are considered princes, and a prince would have a raven for beauty and for play, for sport, so therefore it's for a Jewish person, since he's a prince, it's not considered mukta to love, because technically he's eligible for a raven. So you see that he holds this concept of being considered a prince, and again, therefore that was the point of Reb Nachman, that it cannot be, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds misadrin, if he's saying meicher, because then you wouldn't be selling any of his stuff. These are things that he needs, because the prince needs all these items. Obviously, that there's no, he doesn't hold the halach misadrin, and that's why you could sell his stuff. Reb Shimon, where do we see that he holds this concept of kol b'nei yisrael malachim? It's not like in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Mishnah says b'nei malachim sachen shem and verid agav and makasein b'Shabbos. Princes are allowed to smear rose oil on their wounds on Shabbos, and the reason is shekin darken losach b'chol, because even during the weekday, even when they don't have any wound, they smear and anoint themselves with this expensive rose oil. So therefore, even when he has a wound, it's not obvious that he's doing it for healing purposes, which if it was obvious he's doing it for healing purposes, that's forbidden to do on Shabbos, because if we allow you to use medicine and it's obvious he's using for medicine, then you might come to actually grind herbs, which that's Issur D'oraisa, Malach of Shabbos. But these princes, who it's not obvious they're doing it for medicinal purposes, because even during the weekday when they don't have wound, they just smear themselves, so they're on Shabbos, there's no gezerah of refu over there. But someone that's not a prince is forbidden, because they only use the rose oil, which is an expensive item, if they need it for healing purposes. Whereas Reb Shimon Leitmei says, no, kol Yisrael b'nei malachim hein. All Jewish people are considered princes, and every Jew, even if he's a poor person, is allowed to use the rose oil for a wound on Shabbos, and it's not obvious it's for a fool, because he's a prince, and the prince uses rose oil even when he doesn't have a wound. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, where do we find that they hold this concept of kol Yisrael b'nei malachim? It's the time that we learn them in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Arishahayu noishin by elibzuz. If someone was being chased by creditors for an amount that he owes of 1,000 zuz, Belavish itzla bas mei mana. He was wearing an expensive garment worth 100 mana. So says the Braisa, mafshitin oisam imenu. So we disrobe him from this garment to use to pay up to his creditors for part of his debt. Umabishin oisam itzla ruila, and we clothe him with something that's fit for him. What are you wearing such expensive garment? You owe your creditors? We're going to take your expensive suit, your expensive garment, sell it. We'll give you this cheap suit that's fit for a guy like you who has no money to pay his creditors. Now, but it was taught in the Braisa and the names of Mishmo and Bekiva that they disagree. And they say, no, kol Yisrael ruin lo'itza itzla. Every Jewish person is fit to wear that garment. In other words, that is considered something that's fit for him, because again, they're considered b'nei Yisrael and malachim, and that's why you don't disrobe him from that expensive garment, because it's considered like a ben melech. And again, that was why Reb Nachman was bothered that obviously that Braisa cannot be like a Shem Gamliel, since he holds that you sell. And since he holds that they're b'nei malachim, then if he held misadrin, then you would never sell, because everything he has, he would have to maintain. Obviously, he doesn't hold misadrin by Belchayv. Now, the Gemara asks a reflective question. Now, this that we entertained before, that when we were asking on Rav Nachman, that how does he know that it's not Rav Shimon Gamliel, because he says you sell it, and if you're selling it, then obviously you're not going to go out of your way to actually maintain it for him for the next 12 months, if he says actually you could sell it. So the Gemara said, wait a second, who said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that when he says to sell it, it means to sell it forever? And that the Gemara says, maybe it's the Yoiv Le'mai D'chazi Le. Maybe actually you don't sell it totally, you sell it when it's a more expensive item. And then you give him what's fit for him. And then you sell off what's not fit for him. And then that difference is what you're going to go ahead and give to the creditors. So that was what the Gemara was asking, and said that, okay, so therefore maybe you could be Masadu his basic requirements, but you'll sell that surplus, that's more expensive, and then the difference you'll give. Which the Gemara had answered that, no, obviously we said because B'nai Malachim, that everything then is considered his standard. But on that the Gemara says, but what we had originally entertained, that was an option. So the Gemara asks, Bishlem Ekarva Kesses. So that would make sense regarding one of the two cases, which was talking about in our Mishnah, regarding a pillow and the blanket. You could say what Reb Shimon Gamliel says, that you sell it, that what it means to say is that chazilei de beni beni. That is because there's something going to be able to find a differential, meaning you'll sell the more expensive Egyptian cotton blanket and you'll buy him a cheaper, lower quality thing. And the difference you'll give to the creditors. So you'll be able to fulfill Reb Shimon Gamliel's halacha of selling. And at the same time, you'll also be able to maintain misadrin because you'll give him his basic requirements. Elamachresha, but the question is regarding the other case of the Mishnah, which Rav Shimon Mula says that you sell his plow, Lamai Chazia. What does that mean? A plow is a plow. How are you going to be able to sell it to buy something cheaper if all plows essentially are the same item? How could that have been the case that, okay, sell it what's more expensive and buying his basic things? On that Amar of Baruchan, by Rabbi, that's not difficult. Machresha, the Kasma means if you had a silver plow, really expensive nobility type of item, that you'll sell and you buy him a basic metal plow. That was what the Havamina was again, but then the Gemara answered why Rav Nachman didn't like that was because he holds everything is his standard, even silver plows, because it's Ben Melech, and therefore if he held that Masadrin, you wouldn't be selling anything. Obviously, he doesn't hold of the Halacha Masadrin. Now, that maskabla Rav Chaga, asked on this whole halacha, which again we were saying is not like a Pshim Galil, rather the Tanna Kamma holds this halacha, that we're massaging the Machayiv, and that he asked, but why? Valei Malay, let the lender tell to the borrower, Lavalai Karamis, it's not my responsibility to support you. You owe me money. I have to go by Erichin, that's the halacha that talks about by Erichin. But what's my responsibility? So you don't have what to provide yourself? So go to your relatives, go to your neighbors, go to your uncle, go whoever it is. Why is there this halacha of misadrin by a Baal Chayiv? So Amalei Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Chaga, as we get here on top of Kov Yudalim and Aleph, Ivra, no, the truth is, Alei Karami. It actually is incumbent upon the lender to go ahead and provide the basic needs of the borrower. That it should be for him tzedakah, which the Pasuk imposes upon the lender. Mishum Shenema, because the Pasuk says over there, in Devarim Chavdal, where that's the Pasuk, it says, Hashav Tashav Lais Ha'avi, you should return to him the collateral. The Pasuk there concludes, Ulechot Tiyya Tzedakah. Now for you should be charity, that even from the lender himself, he has to do some tzedakah besides the collateral. So although he could take, and there's certain ramifications of how to do the halachic collateral, but although he could take it and use it, but he has to leave him what's called Kadei Chayiv. We have to be Masadif him for the Baal Chayiv, his basic needs, as we learn the halachas of Erichin for the next 12 months.